Welcome back to Diary of a Reality Competition Podcast Contestant. I'm Alex Albisu, in for Brian Ibbett, keeping a seat warm while we're getting to know the contestants of Season 1 a little better. But today, we're getting to know our producer, Hammond Chamberlain. Let's go. Today, you're going to hear that mysterious voice you catch every once in a while. That's Hammond Chamberlain, the producer, the editor of all this stuff that you're consuming on this podcast, America's Next Top Podcaster. We talk a bit about music, his career as a crisis worker, and how he originally met Brian Ibbett. Here's my conversation with Hammond. Hammond Chamberlain, thank you so much for being here, sir.
I am glad to be here. It's weird being on the other end of the interviewing.
Yeah, this is kind of fun. I like this. And now we get to hear more of your voice. That's a step in the right direction, wouldn't you say?
I don't know if it's a step in the right direction. It's a step in another direction.
In another direction. Well, you know, I wanted to check in with you on how things have been since our season one has ended. What have you been up to with all of your free time now?
Still working on other shows. I've been doing my own shows, Soundography and Beyond the Playlist, and producing Women Kick Ass for Daniel Bergio, and getting ready to go on a trip to LA to do more interviews. So,
dude, that's so cool, man. So what's the most, okay, so who's the coolest person that you feel like you've interviewed in the past for sound, or, well, not for Soundography, but for your show?
Beyond the Playlist?
Right.
I've interviewed a few people. I've interviewed Doug Drexler, who designed the Star Trek NX for Enterprise.
Oh, that's cool.
He also won an Emmy for his work on Battlestar Galactica, the reboot on Sci-Fi.
Very cool.
Then I interviewed Jordan Rudess, who's the keyboard player for Dream Theater.
Dude, how do you get in touch with all these people? You just reach out?
Yeah, it's just a matter of being a little bit more persistent with email and kind of knowing the right way to get in certain times. So
that's great. That's great.
And then I interviewed the drummer from Primus, Tim Alexander. He was cool.
Wow.
So
did you meet these people in person to do the interviews, or are you doing them over Skype or what?
Yeah, I do them over Skype or the Facebook Messenger app or the phone or whatever is convenient for them, I will work with.
Very cool. And how much time do you spend? You're just a full-time producer, right? Like, this is what you do for a living?
I do that, but I also do some contract work at a rehab facility training staff on how to work with kids.
Oh, very cool.
Based on my prior career.
Yeah. So what specifically was that?
I spent 6 years as a crisis worker in a correctional facility. And then I did drug and alcohol rehab counseling for adolescents in a lockdown facility. And then I ended up working with the courts for about 15 years after that.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. I had no idea that you did that.
Yeah.
See, this is fun. This is why we're doing this. We're learning new things.
That is great. I also worked in theater for about 5 years, building sets and stage managing and that kind of stuff.
Now, that I did know. And is that really where you picked up a lot of the audio stuff?
Yes, it is. Yeah. I've been playing in bands since I was in high school. And so sound has always been something that I've always kind of known about. Mm-hmm. So therefore, when it came to podcasting, I knew how to get a good recording.
Very good. Yeah. Now, what did you play? Did you play an instrument or were you a singer?
Singing. I would tell my mom that I would offend God if I sang in church. No, I played harmonica through most of college as a hired gun. And then in 2010, my wife bought me an instrument called a Chapman stick, and I've been learning how to play that ever since.
Oh, that's a cool instrument, man. That is a very cool instrument. I've played music, gosh, my entire life. That's one that I've never tried playing, but I feel like it would be so fun to pick up and try to figure out. It looks really complicated.
It's so logical. And if you have a good grasp of music theory, then you're set because it's music theory on a board.
Now, can you explain for people listening right now what that is?
Yeah, it's a 10-string or 12-string tap-style instrument. It's got, so there's no fretting, there's no strumming. You just point your finger at the string and it makes the note you want to hear.
Yeah.
And it's laid out, the basic tuning, I think, is the circle of fifths, basically. So if you have, like I said, if you have a good grasp of knowledge, then you're in of music theory. Famous Chapman stick players, Tony Levin, who's played with King Crimson and Peter Gabriel. He also played with Liquid Tension Experiment. Then John Myung of Dream Theater plays one on occasion. Nick Beggs, who played with the band Kaja Goo Goo and now tours with Steve Wilson. He plays one. So,
oh, that's really cool. And did you said your wife got it for you?
Yeah, I've wanted one since 96, but they're a boutique instrument and kind of spendy. So she got it for me for my birthday when I was older.
Oh, well, right on. That's great. Did she get the right one? Like, did she have to consult with you?
No. Well, she just said, go order it and we're buying it. So it wasn't like,
Surprise.
It was a surprise. She said, yes.
It always makes me a little nervous if I think about, hey, my wife is going to go buy me a guitar. I'm like, but like, does it have this thing and that thing? I got to make sure it's the right thing.
No.
So music has always been a big part of your life then. Oh, right?
Yeah. My mom and dad, my mom was a classical music and R&B fan. And my dad was like an acid rock guy. So growing up, I knew everything from Mussorgsky to Jefferson Airplane. I mean, I was.
Dude, what a spread.
Yeah, huge span of music, which totally makes sense why between the acid rock and the classical, why I like prog now. So it totally worked.
Yeah, there you go. Something a little in between. That's great. Are you still playing in a band or anything?
No. So when I was working graveyards as a crisis worker, I kind of stopped playing in groups because it just wasn't conducive to the schedule and my life at the time. And then I was going to get back into it, and I still pick up the harmonica and play a lot. I still do stuff with the Chapman stick on my own, but I haven't done anything in a band setting or played out in, I don't know, 15, 20 years.
Yeah, it's tough. I had to give up playing in a band, you know, when my wife and I decided to start a family. Between that and work and other things, it's hard, man. Mm-hmm. It's impossible to keep that up.
Yeah.
But here you are, you're still pursuing a passion of yours, podcasting and doing all this amazing editing work that you do. So how much time a week do you think that you spend in Logic doing your editing?
For all shows or just one?
Well, let's start with all shows. And then I would love to hear how much time you spend specifically on America's Next Top Podcaster.
So I probably spend, I don't know, probably 30 plus hours a week editing.
Wow. That's basically a full-time job.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm putting in more than full-time hours on podcasting, not just editing, but in podcasting in general, I'm definitely putting in more than a full-time job.
So how much time did you spend on season one of America's Next Top Podcaster?
So it varied. The first episode I put on the extended versions of the Lord of the Rings in the background on mute when I started editing episode one, not the introductory episode, but it's challenge one, the make a podcast episode. And I didn't finish that until I was about halfway through the Two Towers.
That's incredible. That's so much time.
Yeah.
And I remember you said that during, I think it was the reunion show when you chimed in and everybody was like, hey, wait, who the hell is that? Who let that guy? Oh, it's him. And never mind. It's mine.
Yeah. It was the first episode. That first one was very long and very trying. And it took me four or five tries of getting, like, doing it and then saving it and sending it to Brian, having him listen, give me notes. I'd do it again. So it took us, you know, it took four or five tries to get it right. But the first assembly was, you know, 5-6 hours straight.
And then I imagine it got a lot more streamlined.
It did.
Right.
Yeah. The pattern of the show kind of fell into place. I built a nice template with, you know, my plugins already set up. The only thing I really needed to worry about at one point was one team's levels were pretty consistently low. And so I had to always...
Wasn't team two, was it?
No. Huh? No.
Oh, thank God.
No. Theirs were pretty consistently low. And so I had to always kind of mess with their show stuff and their work sessions to kind of get them to be an equal volume.
Gotcha. And so you have been doing what? Okay. So you've been doing production work for how long now?
So I've been producing Beyond the Playlist, just Beyond the Playlist, since 2013. And that's a show that I do. I mean, I'm from stem to stern. That's mine. There's no outsourced, no nothing. I do the booking. I do the editing. I do the interviewing, all of that. And then I worked on Grumpy Cast with Joey Image and Daryl Skeels.
Oh, cool. I didn't realize that you were in on that show.
That was, I was there for the first maybe year and a half, 2 years. And then
very cool.
Then I ducked out because my bandwidth was just getting too filled. And then Soundography was coming and I knew that was going to be a big ask for time.
Yeah. And you, so yeah, man, you've been in this world for a long time. What do you say to those people who want to maybe follow suit and do this sort of work?
I'll give you the same advice that I was given when I, my first couple weeks doing it was you have to be consistent. You cannot be afraid to suck. And when someone asks you to do a thing, you do a thing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And you gave that similar advice. I've been, so the last bit that you said really resonated with me because, you know, you always think about like, oh, do I have the bandwidth to do this thing? You know, if it's something that you really want to get into, like for me, podcasting is something that I really, really want to start doing more of and it becoming a main thing. Like, yeah, you find the time mm-hmm. because doing that work in the long run will help a lot for your career. I want to kind of start from the beginning. How did you and Brian end up meeting? I don't think I've ever heard this story.
So Nerdtacular 2013 was the first time Brian and I had crossed paths. I knew he liked a guy named Kevin Gilbert. It was a musician that passed away in the late 90s. And he was in a band called Toy Matinee. He did some solo work. He did production work for Eddie Money. He did production work for Madonna and Michael Jackson. I mean, he was a true musical genius and talent. And it's sad that he's no longer with us. And I also I'm a rabid collector of certain bootlegs. Well, I happen to have a 17-disc bootleg collection of Kevin Gilbert stuff.
Wow.
And so I made copies of all of it for Brian. And the first time I met him, I shook his hand and handed him a giant envelope, a manila envelope filled with these 17 discs. And he was like, oh my gosh. And that's kind of the only conversation we had through.
Too funny.
For that whole time. The other part that was very funny was I was also on the, for Nerdtacular 2013, they had a Kickstarter team for Frog Pants All-Stars. So it was me and three other people who paid to be on the panel. And so I was on that. And I remember very vividly, I was asked about a hand gesture that somebody makes during a phone ad. And it was supposed to be the mind blown kind of hands on either side of their head thing. And the way the question was asked made it seem like the kid was being a real snot. And so I said, she threw him the bird. She threw him a middle finger. And Scott Fletcher's like, I'll allow it. And we got points for that answer. And so that was my first time being involved in anything Frog Pants, was that Frog Pants All-Stars episode.
2013? Mm-hmm. Wow, very cool.
Summer of 2013. Then the first time I appeared on a podcast was actually with Joel Robertson from Forgotten Flicks. He now goes, it's another show called Retro Movie Geek. And he and I have been friends since 2010 when I first stumbled across his show. And so he's like, hey, you sent us this movie that's a real piece of garbage to watch for Halloween. We're going to make you talk about it. So I got on there and we talked about the movie. It was a Trick or Treat. It had Gene Simmons and Ozzy Osbourne in it for a hot second. It's got Skippy from the Keaton. What's his name? Michael Keaton's TV.
Michael Keaton's TV show.
No, what is that? Family Ties? Was that Family Ties?
Oh, maybe.
Yeah. Michael P. Keaton, Michael J. Fox show.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Yep. Family Ties. Yeah.
Yeah. So Skippy was on that. So I talked about that movie. And when I got done, I came upstairs and I told my wife, I was in a giddy mood. I hadn't had that much fun in years. And I said, I have to do a show. I have to do something. So I kicked it around for a while and I came up with the idea of Beyond the Playlist and what that was going to be. And then that November, I appeared for an hour on the Coverthon with Brian. I did not say anything about my show because it wasn't locked in yet. I hadn't got anything settled yet. And then like 2 weeks later, I launched the first episode, which was me whispering into a microphone, feeling very insecure about myself and being quiet. It was way over it. It took me 2.5 hours to put together a 5-minute show. It was so bad.
Was it over edited just because you were hesitant to put something out and you wanted it to be just right?
Yeah. I didn't want any mistakes. I didn't want it to do anything bad. I wanted to be
so funny,
dead on right from the get go. And it was a miserable experience putting that together. Well, then I had scheduled an interview. My first interview was with Jury. And he and I had a great conversation and I realized that the conversation was where I was going to be the strongest. And so I've only done one other solo show for Beyond the Playlist, and that was a rundown of Blues Traveler. And I actually, my wife told me it sounded like a really bad book report by a fifth grader.
Oh, man, really?
Yeah, and it did.
Oh, I got to go listen to
it. Oh, it's gone. It's
Oh, man.
It's now off my feed. I think it might exist somewhere on archive.org, but I'm not even sure.
So you don't have a copy of it anywhere for our listeners to listen to?
I kept it. I have it. I have all my shows. Everything I've recorded, I have stored somewhere.
That's pretty funny. That would be hey, Kickstarter goal. If we hit $1 million, Hammond will release his.
It's bad. And it's funny. There's a guy in that I know named Phil Rude, who also does podcasting, who's also a fantastic artist. He has been following Beyond the Playlist for years. In fact, he did my show art for Beyond the Playlist. And after we did Blues Traveler on Soundography, he said that he put himself through the torture of listening to the Beyond the Playlist Blues Traveler and then listen to the Soundography Blues Traveler. And he's like, nope, that's not a good episode.
Really?
Yeah. He's like, aww. He goes, all the heart's there, all the information's there, but the delivery was kind of rough. So
do you think that you would survive on a show like this?
I think I could probably turn out the work. I think I could probably also get along, but I don't know how. Yeah, I think I could do okay. I think I could churn out the work pretty quickly and also be a team player when I needed to be.
I mean, that's pretty much what it is. You have to make sure that you're timely and the collaborative skills need to be there.
I mean, I've been working, you know, I booked for Current Geek for 2 years with Scott and Tom. And then I have been working with Brian since 2015 on Soundography. So
amazing, man.
And Soundography actually came out of an episode of Beyond the Playlist. We broke down Kevin Gilbert on Beyond
the Playlist. Oh, wow. So that was the inception point.
And
huh?
Then he's like, hey, you know, this before the show was even uploaded in live, he and I were talking about doing the show on the regular.
Dude, that's great. And what's it like to work with Brian at this point? Somebody that you obviously looked up to. Enough to hand over your bootleg copies of that album. Like, was that kind of surreal?
It was. I mean, it's interesting because I never thought that I would get to a point where I was working with this particular group of people. I thought that I was always going to be this guy kind of just turning out my own little show on my own. But over the course of the last 6 years, I've actually made some headway into some fairly significant relationships that have not just helped me, but I feel like I've helped them.
Well, good on you, man. I mean, that's an accomplishment that is, you've done an amazing job and this show is a testament to that.
Oh, I appreciate it.
So, you know, I like to leave the conversation on a specific question. What was the biggest surprise for you around Next Stop Podcaster?
Gee whiz. There are a lot of surprises. I think the biggest surprise for me was listening to all of the audio and hearing everybody's passion and how serious they were taking this. Because I didn't think that this was going to be anything more than kind of a how-to podcast wrapped up with the tropes of and the kind of the humor and the jokiness of a reality show. About the time we got to Comedy Week, I realized that, oh no, this is real and everyone's playing for keeps.
That's true. And I think it was like Nicole said it that one time where she said, I didn't realize how important this was to everybody here. And I'm like, oh yeah, man, this is like what I want to do for a living. Like, so yeah, this is a big deal. So it's amazing that you guys were able to come together and create something like this that impacted not just the community right away, but even people it's reached out to beyond that who have looked at this show now and have been like, wow, this is a cool project. So very interested in seeing what season two is going to look like. You still on board to do all that editing for season two?
Yeah, now that I understand delivery systems and kind of methods of working and editing and some of the other things we kind of put in place near the end to make my life easier, things got a lot better. And also, having people come in with the highlights of their work sessions will be a fairly significant upstep in my work.
Oh, totally.
Because as it was, I was listening for gems and things like that. And I'm sure that there are going to be things that I think will be gem worthy that the other people won't, that they'll say, nope, this is really important. I'm going to blow by it and not think that that's all that special. It's going to be something else that I think is special. And so I still might catch myself listening to a whole lot of audio because what I think is funny or show worthy, there are people who probably think that's not a big deal.
Well, and it'll, yeah. So, I mean, once we see all those audio recordings kind of coming in and you will start to hear more of like the individual people chiming in with their like little snippets of value, mm-hmm. you will slowly get an idea of, okay, this is where, you know, the aha moment, mm-hmm. you know, kind of comes
on. And I did figure that out relatively quickly. I knew that like with your team, the first session was usually the gold session for me because that's where you guys did all the talking about idea concept and kind of you guys had a rough idea of it by the end of that first recording session.
Yeah.
Usually like team one, their first recording session was gold for me because it was funny. I mean, they riffed off each other for the first session and they didn't actually get any real work done until the end of the middle of the second one or into the third. So,
but still entertaining.
Yeah. But it was that first session was super entertaining because they were just throwing out anything against the wall. And most of the time I was sitting here in my studio laughing like an idiot at the things that they were doing because it was hysterical. And then team three, they had moments of absolute brilliance right off the bat. And then they had moments of brilliance near the end. And so I was obligated to listen to their entire run because I didn't know when something was going to stick and when something was going to fit and when something was going to be that I thought something fit. And they pulled out on that and then went for something else in a completely different direction later.
Yeah. And I'm really excited to see what happens with season two and some of the new challenges. Anything specific that you might tell somebody listening to this show saying, hey, you might want to do this if you want to win or do this if you want to be seen, you know, in a positive light to the judges.
All I can say is if you're thinking about doing it, do it. The only people who don't make any mistakes are the ones who aren't doing anything. And learning something is an active activity. And so to learn, you need to be engaged in it. And so if there's any kind of itch in the back of your brain saying you want to try this as a profession or even try this as a contest just for fun, take the leap and do it because yeah, it's kind of a time sink. And yes, it's sometimes it can be a lot of work, but I can't think of anyone who didn't have a good time doing the first season.
Oh, such a blast. It really was. It was a ton of work, like you said, but so worth it, especially if you have that drive. Like really, I would say all of us had that drive and it paid off a ton because I mean, here I am, I'm getting the opportunity to work with you and Brian.
And that's the weirdest. So that's a lot of fun. That's the weirdest thing for me to hear is that people want to work with me because again, I'm just a guy who talks to people on occasion and plays with a lot of audio. I don't see myself as someone who is that guy that people want to talk to or hang out with.
Well, welcome to the big leagues, my man. You're there.
It's a strange feeling.
Well, good. Good on you. You deserve that strange feeling. Is that the right way to say that to you?
Maybe it's an odd sentence, but I'll roll with it.
Well, Hammond, thank you so much for sharing all of your wisdom and your perspective on this episode.
Hey, thanks for wanting to talk to me. I know that I'm the last person on the list probably, but I appreciate it.
Not at all. Actually, you're up there in the front. And you know, even before we leave, do you want to take a second to share all the different projects that you're working on?
Sure. The main project is Beyond the Playlist with Jay Hammond C. It's an interview podcast that deals with creativity, but I deal with a lot of like the blue collar creatives, the people that not everyone knows their name, but I feel like they should. One of the main qualifiers for the show is that they have to be someone whose work that I admire or that I admire what they do, like themselves. Then I also do production work on a show called Women Kick Ass, and it's hosted by Danielle Bergios, an award-winning stuntwoman. And she interviews other women in the stunt field and other women filmmakers. And we've been doing that now for 3 or 4 months. And then I do a show with Jenny Sauer called Green Acres and Ham. And it's just a kind of a silly talk show. We've kind of taken a break because she just got engaged. And so she's kind of busy being engaged right now.
That's a reasonable thing to step away from podcasting for.
And then I also do Soundography with Brian Ibbett. That's in our fifth season. We're midway through our fifth season now. And then do I do anything else?
I can't believe that you're 5 seasons into that thing. I remember when it was like kickstarted.
So do I.
That's crazy to me. Well, and where can people follow you on Twitter?
You know, as the two best ways to go is I've nailed down Jay Hammond C pretty much everywhere. So .com on Twitter, SoundCloud. I'm Hammond Chamberlain on Facebook. Just, you'll find me. I'm out there.
Beautiful. All right. Well, again, our guest has been Hammond Chamberlain. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, folks, you heard the man. If you are interested in being a part of this show, don't hesitate. Just do it. Take that leap. It's so worth it. I can say that from my own personal experience. Just do it, guys. It's fun. Our guest again has been Hammond Chamberlain. Thank you again. If you'd like to reach us, you can email toppodcaster@gmail.com. This has been Alex Albisu, filling in for Brian Ibbett on America's Next Top Podcaster, the special Diary of a Reality Competition podcasting contestant segment. We'll see you guys next time.